This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Speak Up Effective Communication, the show on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network focused on elevating our communication and leadership skills. I'm your host, Craig O'Neill, and in our episode today, I'm with Nick Pope, industry coach and facilitator at the Institute for Automotive Business Excellence. Nick, I'm looking at this resume, Maxwell Certified Coach and Trainer, DISC Consultant, founder of Built on the Way Up. That is your own firm with a focus on leadership development and one-on-one coaching. Man, I'm looking forward to this conversation.
So am I, Craig. Thanks for having me on. It is a pleasure to be here and a pleasure to meet you, sir.
Hey, thanks for being here. Yeah, I feel like we've met probably at some other industry events, but I know we haven't had any chance to really talk at all either. So dude, I was digging into the LinkedIn profile. I'm so glad you put one up there. It makes it easier to connect with people, at least across distances, and hailing from the other side of Lake Michigan over in Wisconsin, a Midwest brother on the other side of the pond. Love it.
Yes, sir. Now, I'm just curious, are you a Lions fan, Craig?
Absolutely, sir. Yeah, I'm guessing you're a Packers fan.
Yes, absolutely. All right, we've drawn the line in the sand, so we're okay now.
We'll be all right. I mean, hey, let's just, the NFC North division, let's just call it what it is. It's the best and strongest division in the NFL.
That it is, my friend. We are on the same team there.
Yep. Hey, if something happens to the Lions and they go down, I do start rooting for the other teams in our division. I was happy to see the Bears pull out a great season. Of course, it took one of the former Lions coaches to do it.
We'll call it progress.
Dude, did you hear though? Their stadium is going to be in Indiana now.
Yes.
That's wild to me.
That's a shift. That's a little bit of a shift.
Oh, man. But no, I am so glad we get to have this conversation. Look, Nick, you're a family man of faith. You married your high school sweetheart. We've grown up in this industry. I was looking at your history and it just like other side of that lake paralleling some of my experience, although you tipped more into founding some shops as well. That was around 2014 or so?
Yeah, the most recent shop that we had was started in right around 2014. We were there for just a little bit over 10 years. We sold it in 24. Yeah, it was an incredible run. I have so many great memories, great people we've had, you know, working for us, Craig. You know, just to have the ability to build up your bench, build up your team is just truly incredible. I never thought in my life I would have that opportunity. My intention going into that was just keep it simple. You know, me in a three-bay shop and my wife, when the time was right, she could come and help. Well, time was right like 2 months after we opened the doors. And then next thing you know, we're hiring someone about 5 months down the road. And then a year later, we're buying the building next door. And it was unbelievable. But we were there to do what we did best, and it's take care of the people, right? That's the nucleus of a business. And when you do all the things for the right reasons and stand behind what you do and follow through with what you say, you're going to be taken care of.
Yeah, dude. And the title of this episode is going to be From Fixer to Connector. And I couldn't help but notice the first thing I saw on LinkedIn, looking at the resume, automotive technician. And for several years.
Yes, sir. That's where I started out and had the honor to work in many different roles in our industry, top to bottom. And it's given me a lot of wisdom. It's given me a lot of patience, lots of mistakes made along the way. And those are where the lessons are learned. And I will embrace every moment of struggle and failure, Craig. But, you know, when we talk about the fixer, you know, we talk, especially in our industry, right? Have you heard that term hero dependency? There's that go-to person who is always just putting out fires and always solving problems. Yeah. You know, and have you ever been that person, Craig?
Absolutely. Spent way too much time in that mindset. Yes. I think this was me all the way up to my 30s.
Yeah, I can relate. I'm right with you there. And you get to the end of the day and you don't even know what happened. You didn't accomplish what you wanted to accomplish. but you accomplished a lot of other things. But, you know, it just turns into a vicious cycle, right? And we don't realize it. And in hindsight, I don't think it's mostly intentional, right? Like when I was going through this, and I'm sure you can attest to this too, right? You weren't just choosing to do this. You thought it was helping people, and you thought you were helping move the needle in the right direction.
Yeah, and the intention might have been good, and we make the choices that we make for very rational reasons in that moment, right? And that rationale is where I've noticed that's where the shift actually has to happen, is like, wait a minute, like I went back to the technician role after, like, there were some real stressful years in the family business. I went back into a technician role because that was an escape for me. It felt good to be serving people by fixing problems and getting the tangible results without arguments or frustration and some of the other stress that comes with businesses. It was an escape, and I had to start recognizing it for what it was.
Yeah, I agree. And you hit the nail on the head when you said tangible results, because especially if you were a technician, that's just how we're wired, right? We are always seeing what success looks like when we complete a repair or whatever the task at hand may be. And now when we, you know, step into a management role or an ownership role, or really, quite frankly, any other role different than being a technician, we have to understand that we need to shift, right? And now when we're in a leadership role, we're looking at people as leaders that we're building up around us. And by stepping in and being the fixer, we're really doing them a disservice. We may be cutting their confidence. We may be, I guess, sending a message that we don't believe in them because we're doing the same thing over and over again. And then they're always going to come to us. We're going to rinse and repeat, and they're not growing. They're probably not really happy where they are, right? And it's really a bad path to walk.
Yeah, let's talk more about that. And I have a word of the day for this episode too, and I think you're going to like this one. I always do this with each of the episodes, try to just pick a word familiar, stretch the vocabulary a little bit, dive into the deeper meaning of the word. And today's word of the day is catalyst. And we'll define that word for our audience here after we hear a word from our sponsors who make this show possible. Your partner in technology, Autoflow is able to enhance your client interactions before, during, and after the visit from a single thread. To see how Autoflow makes it simple, visit autoflow.com. Your trusted companion, ShopDog Marketing, is right by your side, attracting the best customers and building long-term growth. Call ShopDog Marketing today or visit shopdogmarketing.com. Cover your communication need and revolutionize your auto repair business with AI-driven call analytics from Inbound. Explore more at callinbound.com. Want a more profitable shop? Start with your service advisor. They are the face of your business, the voice on the phone, and the key to every approved repair. ServiceAdvisorTraining.com is dedicated to giving them the tools and training they deserve. We are back, and our word of the day is catalyst, and I'm with my friend Nick Pope, and we're talking about our journey from fixer to connector. The word catalyst, this one's a noun. It's a person or thing, and I loved this definition. It's a person or thing that causes change or action, often without being changed itself in the process. In chemistry, it's a substance that speeds up a reaction without being consumed by it. And I like that consumed by it piece, because I think things do change for people that are in a catalyst moment, but they aren't consumed by it. And this is actually from Greek katalion, meaning to dissolve or loosen. It's formed from kata, which means down thoroughly, and lien, to loosen. The word entered English through chemistry in the early 1900s. Then it broadened into everyday use for a person or event that sparks change in others. And of course, we use it for other technical terms like a catalytic converter in our industry. But I like the word catalyst. And this is where I really wanted to get to the heart of your story, Nick, is spending time as a technician, then going into that leadership role. And you have your own coaching firm now. So like, you're a technician, now you have this built on the way up coaching group, and you're working with the Institute for Automotive Business Excellence as well. Look, there must have been a catalyst for you that brought you out of the bay into a leadership role? Was it just a desire? Was it an event? Take us back.
Well, the first thing I will say, it was not planned. All right. And like much of my life, and I'm sure many people can relate to that, right? Things just happen and they happen. Let's walk down that path. So, you know, as I alluded to earlier, the business started to grow very fast. And, you know, then I was faced to step up to the plate and, you know, get more into that leadership role, managing our team, managing our business as it was growing, learning a lot of things, but surrounded by so many people who have built me up in that process and taught me more than I could have ever imagined. And I didn't ask for any of it. It was just people being incredible people and, you know, whomever I will always be grateful for all of that. However, the catalyst, you know, moving back to what got me from being a technician to starting a business was the environment, the culture, you know, seeing certain things that didn't align with my morals, values, and ethics pushed me away. And I never really had it on my radar to start an auto repair business, but that was the catalyst. Just seeing that, I learned really at a young age that I wasn't happy. And, you know, despite the fact that I was so young, you know, living paycheck to paycheck and in a large amount of debt, trying to figure out how to raise children and be a good dad, a good husband, and then decide to go and start a business. You know, it was a pretty strong catalyst to take that leap of faith. And that's what it was, though. But I love your word of the day, Craig.
This is the thing. As a young dad working as a technician, what a fun role. I loved those days in so many ways. They were very hard, very, very hard in a number of ways. Some of the most stressful years of my life, I'll be very clear. But man, the kids were just like, it was an easy job to be able to communicate to kids about what you do all day. And you got toy cars and they make their Duplo toys and they have cars on lifts. And like, this is life, man. And it was good. And dad fixes cars. And that became identity for me. My coach, Bob Greenwood, really snapped my attention to a deeper meaning of our purpose in this industry. And it sounds like you had to take that leap of faith while your kids were still young. I did not. My kids grew up while I was still in the shop. I was not brave enough to move into a different role. I stayed in the family business environment very long before I got into the software space. You had a catalyst that sounds like leadership was thrust upon you by growth. And this means you started to recognize, I think, very quickly, you can't handle all of the stuff that's coming in. You need help to do that. And that means hiring smart people and giving them opportunity. And we were talking before the break on this realization that we have to develop others and cannot be the permanent fixer. I feel like that's what you started to go through. And like, if you kept stepping into every role, would you have developed good technicians?
No. And, you know, it took me a long time to realize what I was doing and what the pattern that I kept seeing was, you know, my team members would come to me and ask me for something. And I would forget, or I would get too caught up in something else that was a higher priority. And I was the bottleneck. Man, you talk about a heavy burden to carry. I mean, the weight was just so heavy to carry because I felt horrible, right? I didn't see it. And I did that all to myself. And I thought I was helping, but I wasn't. The one thing that I didn't realize until I was probably in my early 30s was I never really knew who I was. My whole life was dedicating my life to raise my children and take care of my wife and do the best I can for them. And that was my conviction, right? And then I got to a point in my life where I had some time to think about that. And my gosh, who am I? How have I done all of this? Like, you know, you just go through the motions and you know, that's a cycle I'm not going to complain about, you know, going through, but boy, life's full of surprises, Craig, but it's all great. I'm grateful for everything that's been a part of my life for sure.
So one of the people from my church, they write that Our Daily Bread devotional. You might be familiar with that. It's all over the place. So yeah, it's the office for that's actually not far from us here in Grand Rapids. Just yesterday, it was yesterday's on gratitude. That attitude of thanks and giving thanks and being grateful for all of the things that we are given. And that does often include some of the struggles.
I think it should more than not, you know, because the struggles are what shape us. The struggles are really the most important things that we're going to face in life, in my opinion, right? It's easy to say thank you for all the great things we have, but it's harder to say thank you for this crappy day that I had that didn't go the way that I planned on it. But I gave people grace and I was able to make it through the day, and I'm a better man than I was at the beginning of the day. It's so hard to do that.
Yeah. And isn't it that giving grace piece is like the thing? You've been a young dad too for a while. And as you, especially raising adults, they're college age now, right? And I'm finding this all the time, not just grace for the kids, but grace for the friends and other things too, is one of the hardest things. But thankfully, yeah, you hit this point where that starts to get easier. And you can see, like, as a younger man, it would have been more challenging had I met these situations without the experiences that I had. Those experiences allowed me to face these other circumstances with a lot more grace than I feel like I would have ever been able to muster on my own.
One of the abilities I'm really grateful for is I feel like I have a really strong sense of perception, and my mind constantly looks at everything from every angle. And I love that. I value that because it really helps me see things differently, try to understand things, or even just wonder, you know, out of curiosity, what is that person going through that I don't know? Like, what is that one thing I don't know that's causing this to happen? And you might not know, and that's okay, but not knowing helps you understand the possibility of whatever, you know, the case may be. And perception's powerful and yet often overlooked, especially in today's world.
Yeah. And I love that you said perception, not assumption, because that's the other side of the coin that a lot of times we find ourselves trapped into, that logic of assuming things. And that assumption of, like, someone should be able to handle a thing, like, in the moment, maybe not, for reasons that are well understood. And curiosity comes into your analytical mindset, is what I'm already hearing. And that's what we talk about here on the show all the time, is like, it's hard to coach people to be curious, especially a service advisor at the counter in a shop, even the owner of the shop, towards their staff. To be curious allows you to develop the knowledge that I feel like is necessary in order to even have grace at all.
I agree. And, you know, think about this. When do you think is the time in our lives when we are the most curious?
Kids, I would think.
I agree 100%. And so we're on the same page. So now think about this. When we're kids, we are so innocent. We are curious. For the most part, we're not, you know, emotionally driven. We're not really afraid. Where does all that go? What strips it away? Well, look around.
Yes. Where does it go?
It's in there, my friend. We just got to help people find it.
Yeah. Faith like a child means something totally different in that light, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it does.
That unburdened, hopefully, period of life. I know not everyone's childhood will ever always feel that way. And that's tragic when that's the case. But boy, one of the books I read, I don't know if you know Ryan Kuiman. He's been a friend of mine, friend of the show for a while. He's leading education at Standard Motor Products. You've been in the education realm, so undoubtedly you've seen some Standard Motor Products training, I'm sure, too. And wow, great team over there. I get to have lunch with Ryan periodically, and we exchange a few book recommendations. I think I came from Chris Cloutier here at Autoflow. Author Brant Hansen, the book Unoffendable. Really great read. Christian author. So it talks about, like, not taking offense to things. Well, I'd referred that one to Ryan, but then he said, you got to pick up this one too. It's called The Men We Need by the same author, Brant Hansen. The principle in that book, I love it, is the keeper of the garden. First Adam failed. The second Adam, Christ, did not. That was the model we need to follow. But it's not just like this assertive, dominating, masculine man type thing, but a man who is initiating, a man who is there, that who does not let things fall apart, but also love and grace and everything else, and being that keeper of the garden mindset. It's just a phrase that came out of that book that really allowed me to start thinking about things differently, not just in my family, but also in the staff that I'm responsible for or accountable to, and all the things that go in that, like, what's it look like when you start thinking about, this is your garden, whatever your realm is right now, wherever that shop, maybe it's that front counter, or maybe it's a coaching firm and your clients and all those things, like, these people are in your garden. We owe them a certain degree of grace and care and consideration and protection and protecting the vulnerable in that garden as well as things from within and without. Yeah, it just compounds the pressure on yourself too. But it's worse than that. Is like, that's the self impact that it has, but the impact it has on others. I think you hit on this earlier. It's like you, in effect, can find yourself for rational reasons robbing people of an opportunity to find meaning in what they do, right?
Right. And here's the thing, over a series of time, when we are repeating this unconscious process that we're not seeing, we're, as I alluded to earlier, it's a vicious cycle and we're just going through it over and over and over again. We don't know it. But when we're doing that, yes, we may have the best intentions in mind, but we are unintentionally creating dependence, we're reducing ownership, we're weakening confidence, we're making a large gap without even seeing it. And then fortunately, I had, you know, a team that was very loyal and they were committed to our mission, right? They were really part of our team to serve our customers and our community. And that was strong. And I think that was a huge, you know, factor on why they were committed to working with us for so long. However, you know, I had to make a shift. And the shift was putting them in the driver's seat and walking alongside them, supporting them. You know, and the one thing I like to talk about is, you know, you have children, right? So do you remember when your children were young, when they were first starting to learn how to ride a bike?
Oh yeah, the bike riding lessons. Oh boy.
Yeah. You know, as they begin to pedal away, you know, you get that instinct where you just want to hold on, you want to guide them, you want to protect them so you can keep them from falling. And we don't want them to get hurt, but we want them to succeed. You know, it's kind of like a paradox, right?
Oh, it's such a hard thing, that letting go. Oh, your mind is, you're an analytical guy. You see down the road further than they're even looking. You understand what the next turn is going to feel like and where that skin knee might happen and where that rock in that tree is. And you want to steer for them away from those things.
But those are the things that they need to go and face, right? We can be there, but they have to be in control, because if they're not going to learn how to regain their balance when they hit a pothole or whatever the case may be, or learn how to back up or whatever it is, right? And quite frankly, falling down, it's going to happen. Be there to support them and encourage them to get back up and try again.
Dude, it is such a perfect analogy. Like even the letting go, once you let go, you're still running as fast as you can right behind them.
Yeah, you feel the resistance, right? You're like, I don't want to do that, but I have to.
And you're going as fast as you can right next to them. And then you realize they're starting to pedal even faster than you can run already.
Yeah, because they want to get away from you because you're crazy. They can do it. They believe it.
Yeah. Oh, different kids do it differently too. Yeah, one who was terrified. I thought she was never going to learn. I just never thought it was going to happen for this one. She's like, didn't want us to let go and had to continue to tell her, like, we have to let go, right? It's different.
Yeah, no, you're right. So like that transition from being the fixer to the connector is a shift, right? It's an intentional choice, but the power in that really is, it's beneficial for both, you know, the person who is quote unquote the fixer, right? And then the person on the other side who hasn't been able to develop. They haven't really had that genuine opportunity. So when we make that shift, we're going to look at things a lot more differently. Obviously, we're going to be looking at through a different lens per se, and we're allowing this person to be in the driver's seat. And that's going to build us in so many ways. You know, like the biggest thing is patience, right? Patience is the most important virtue you can have in that process, because it's going to take time. Just like raising children in any aspect you can imagine, you've got to be patient because that's all part of the process.
Yeah, I hear you talking now as the version of you today, and I hear a patient man, I do, or someone who's learned to be patient. Did patience define you in any context in your earlier years?
Yeah, many day in and day out, to be honest, yeah.
Wow. I was not a patient man. That was one of the hardest things I even ever learned. I wanted results like immediately all the time. My lack of patience was probably my single biggest handicap, in my opinion.
Well, when I say that, I'm talking like late 20s, early 30s is when it really started to kick in, because I have always been extremely persistent and results driven, and some patience along the way, but patience is really short. So we'll call it short-term patience in the early stages.
It's time for today's Suck Less Spotlight from Autoflow. Today's spotlight is on advisor eye twitches. Listen, clients like to stay informed throughout the repair process, and studies indicate clients are most satisfied receiving text updates versus phone calls. But call you they will, interrupting everything from estimating to quality conversations and your game of solitaire. That is, unless you text them first using Autoflow. With Autoflow's automated text updates, your phone only rings for the right reasons. That way, with less phone interruptions, your eye twitch will definitely suck less. For this and more things that could suck less, visit autoflow.com. Ready to boost your auto repair shop's success? ShopDog Marketing is here to help you. We put customers first using AI to create standout content that ranks. Harness the power of mobile first and voice search, and let our expert team help you. Sweeten your revenue with more car count. ShopDog Marketing offers a free guide on using AI to drive more repair orders. Get your guide today and watch your auto repair shop thrive. Visit ShopDogMarketing.com. Every professional auto repair shop needs a trusted communication partner. At Inbound, our established VOIP platform is backed by years of industry experience, guarantees reliable connections, and is combined with cutting-edge AI-powered analytics. We deliver actionable insights that support your business growth. With Inbound, you get more than just calls. You get a smarter, more efficient operation. Get Inbound on your team today and see how we can transform your business. Visit callinbound.com. What if you knew exactly what to say to the price shopper, the upset customer, the person who says they cannot afford it? Every day, service advisors lose customers not because of bad service, but because of the wrong words at the wrong moment. Words That Work is a free phone scripts playbook built for auto service professionals. Every script includes the reasoning behind it, so you understand not just what to say, but why it works. Grab your free copy at serviceadvisortraining.com. I think a lot of guys, especially people attracted to working as an automotive specialist in any context where you're working with your hands, you become very resourceful and very stubbornly resilient to barriers that come along. And you develop a lot of patience to solve problems. But for me, like, the results have to be fast. Otherwise, frustration sets in. And then I'm a frustrated person, and frustrated and angry about situations that are now completely evidently out of my control. And that's a trap that I see a lot of people get stuck in for a long time. And it feels to me like a young man problem that some of us stay young on for a little too long.
Yes, sir. You're right.
Yeah. But now let's go back to some of your story, because you went from shop owner, sold the businesses, and then you became a technical trainer at Waukesha County Technical College, right?
Yeah. I taught for a little bit over a year after, you know, moving on from my shop. I always really have had a passion for teaching. You know, circling back to when my children were younger, I was coaching all the time, everything. At some points, I was coaching three different teams while running my business. And you ask me how I did that, I don't know. I just did it, right? And it was great. But I've always just had this natural drive to want to connect with people and just be there to guide them and shape them. And then obviously, teaching was incredible. I will say this, I'm not going to go too deep, but you know, the last few years of my life have been a testament to where I am now. Just so many things have happened in ways where you don't look at things until you go through a certain situation. So for example, loss. You lose someone that you were really close to, and it wakes you up. It's a catalyst. It really is. It makes me look at things differently. And you know, you have these goals and these dreams and these callings inside. You don't know how much time you have left. So why wait? What's holding you back? Because in my experience, most of the time, the only thing that's really holding us back is ourselves.
Yeah, and built on the way up, you say it yourself, that leadership is not built when things are easy.
No, it is not, man. The space between is where all the magic happens. And, you know, I'd like to talk about the largest gap in life is life itself. So think about that. So when we are born, right, we are brought into this world. That's the beginning. And the end is the question mark. We don't know when. The clock's ticking. When's it going to run out? We don't know. So the largest gap in life is between when we're born and when we die.
It's not a big window either.
Obviously, there's so many other... No, it's not a big window, and we don't know. So if you don't have a sense of urgency, you know, I encourage anyone to think about that, because we don't know. That's the one thing that drives me, you know, not knowing when my time comes. Gosh, I want to do whatever I can and help as many people as I can and live, right, every day the best of my ability. And that's easier said than done. We all have those days where we're just not motivated, but those are the days where discipline kicks in, right?
Yeah. You said something that I find really intriguing too. Loss is an incredible catalyst. Loss of one of my grandmothers actually was a catalyst for reconnecting with an entire half of my family that we were alienated from. And it's been wonderful since then. Been to multiple cousins' weddings and now celebrating the birth of their children and everything else. And they weren't a part of our lives early on. And that's what a loss really can do. It puts an emphasis on what remains and what follows. It's a beautiful thing if it's handled in the moment with the love and care that it deserves the attention of. It can be a lot of pain sometimes in loss. My mom's side of the family, she just wasn't well connected with them, which is a shame because they're wonderful people. But like, golly, I'm so, so grateful for that now. And that's actually literally shaped entire elements of who I am today as a result of the connections that were built from those moments. And wow, when you get to the middle ages of life, you start to realize this. Some people are exposed to loss a lot earlier. I was very fortunate not to be exposed to any close losses until really it was in my late 30s when my first grandmother passed away. And that was a tremendous loss for our whole family. Truly, she was like the matriarch of every sense of like a saintly matriarch could be in a family. And that loss was felt by the entirety of the family, but was still a beautiful, beautiful process on how that went through. And it was right after that, that I actually did end up leaving the family business to get into a career in software and started to get more connected in the industry and finding great leadership with guys like Chris Cloutier and my coach, Bob Greenwood, and some of these people who became meaningful mentors in my life. I don't know if without that catalyst of loss, if those circumstances would have been embraced when the opportunity came. I don't know. And I can just say that when the opportunities did come, I did embrace them, and I'm grateful that I have.
Yeah, I can relate to you. My grandmother passing was in my mid-30s, and that was the biggest loss for our family, the biggest loss for me. And like you, she shaped me in so many ways. I mean, as long as I can remember, she believed in me long before I believed in myself.
Yeah, that's a gift of a grandmother, isn't it? Oh, their power of affirmation. It is like this skill. If you develop nothing else in your later years of life, learn from the best of grandparents that you have hopefully been blessed to be able to witness. That power of affirmation has this downstream effect on all the people that are touched by it in just some of the most bizarrely profound ways. Not critical stuff, but affirmation, that identifying, that paying attention, that deep paying attention and curiosity. Like we discussed, that goes into this, man, when they give you that affirmation from a position of true curiosity and true attention, you hear their words of affirmation as truth, not patronizing, not just a pat or something you would expect from a parent, but like this profoundly authoritative affirmation. And man, what a gift that carries.
It is a gift. And when you think about it, you know, I feel like, at least for me and with my grandmother, she had many superpowers, but listening and then the way she communicated and connected was remarkable. she met us where we were. She understood us. She knew how to send the message to us. So we received it. She was a master of planting seeds.
Incredible. By listening more than talking, in most cases, my grandpa was the dominant talker. He absolutely was. Like, grandma would start saying something, and there's videos of this happening, just saying some profound wisdom thing. And then my grandpa, who couldn't hear worth a snot anymore, couldn't hardly hear her voice, starts talking about a story that he needs to get everybody's attention to. And just like, we wanted to hear grandma. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. They're like consummate connectors, though. They connect you with an understanding of yourself in some ways. But now, like, going from fixture to connector, like, this is one of the strengths. Like, leaders in an organization have a profound gift of affirmation as well. And this was instilled in me. Chris Cloutier, our CEO at Autoflow, was one of those guys. Bob Greenwood was one of those guys. But even Chris, like, very specifically, he said, you must become a connector. Be a connector. Be a connector as like the chief objective of leadership. Like, if there's one thing you do extremely well, be a connector. And to be a connector actually depends on so many other skills and strengths that in order to do that effectively, like, yeah, this is actually a really good goal. When you can actually take a conversation with an individual, like I'm talking to Nick Pope right now, and I'm speaking to you, our loyal listeners, and I'm saying, like, here's a great guy that if he's got words that are resonating with you and can be helpful in your story, you should probably reach out to Nick. And like, you can tell from the conversation that you get to be a part of in this, like, this would be a good connection. It's like the most fun thing to be a part of, that I get to do this sort of thing, even in a podcast, much less talk to people like Nick for part of my living. This is true joy. But like, the actual, what happens there is like, the best thing that I ever get to hear is like, Craig, thank you so much for connecting me with Nick. I talked with him and it was so helpful. It's like, I didn't do anything other than introduce somebody fantastic that can help someone better than I can help someone. That's amazing. And I think this is the way the spirit moves. You're a man of faith as well. I think this is actually like quintessential spirit work, where people connect with other people who are on a similar journey in this short little bookend life we've got, and we're going to make it more enjoyable, more fun, more productive, and all the things that go with it. And what an amazing thing that is, if you can stop having to be the hero and connect someone with another person.
Absolutely. And when we think about it too, you know, isn't it tiring at some degree to be the hero all the time? And I've been there and I've been burned out, and I can tell you right now, I'm not invincible. And I found that out the hard way. And that's the mountain to climb right there. So if we can find a way to intentionally make that move, right, it's a change. And we have to choose to make that change. We can do that. And the end result, you know, won't be us doing all the little things and getting our dopamine hit from just crushing all these things that we're really great at day in and day out. We're going to get our happiness and our joy and our purpose from developing the people around us. And the goal is not only to let it end there, but if we can create the leaders around us, they should have the ability to create leaders around them. And then when we look at it from a business lens, that's powerful.
Incredible. And from a business lens is one. And let's go back to the school lens for a moment too, because you had that experience as a teacher there. Like, if you were the only source of knowledge, what a lid that would be for those students. And there might be instructors out there who need that lesson. Sometimes you hear about that. Sometimes they want to be the answer man, or they got into the role feeling like they had to be, or maybe you're called to teaching, but you feel like you don't have the answers. And maybe you need to hear that that's okay. Maybe your job is to connect those students with people who do have the answers, and that's your job.
Sir, I agree. Craig, do you know everything?
No, I try really hard to learn everything I possibly can, but I'm going to need more than this lifetime to do it.
Okay, good. Yeah, I don't either. So I'm glad that we can share that same shared, we'll call it characteristic, because I don't think I'll ever know everything, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Even in eternity, I'm fairly sure I will be learning the entire time.
For me, it's so rewarding to want to learn. Like, if you would have asked me if Nick was going to be reading books in high school, like, ask high school Nick, would he be reading books? You can ask anyone that knows me. They would laugh.
Not a reader in your youth?
No.
A reader now?
I'm addicted to it. I love learning, and I have to read something where I'm going to have takeaways from.
There's hope for the world yet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know what the catalyst was behind that, but regardless.
I'm just so glad you said that, too, because like this, I lament this. Getting my own kids sometimes read. My girl's really good readers. My son, not as much read. He'll listen, though, which that's fine. I'm good with that, too. But wow, putting like the distractions aside, we have these phones and devices these days. The attention span for reading is under attack. And I need, if there's one thing I can implore this audience, our loyal listeners here to do is, yes, listen, keep listening, but also turn it off sometimes and teach your brain to pick up a book and let that be how you're going to force it to learn for a little bit. And Nick, I got to know, like, what books were they that first pulled in your Maxwell certified? Now, I'm assuming you had some like 21 irrefutable laws of leadership. I had it sitting on my desk when I realized you're Maxwell certified. I was like, huh.
That's a good book. You know, when I first started reading, I really got into health and fitness in my probably, we'll say, late 20s. So I started to really just kind of, I got really curious just about the quality of food, you know, supplementation, all those things that kind of come along and going deeper into just exercise.
Yeah, stuff parents need to be concerned about.
Especially now more than ever, right? Yeah, so, you know, that was kind of the starting phase, and then, you know, personal growth. And then I read one of John's books. Something on just flipped the switch in me, and then I just got really, really caught up into it. And the one thing I really liked about, you know, what I love about leadership is whether you're a man of, or a person of faith or not, leadership is so similar to, you know, the way of life. You know, biblically speaking, it's remarkable, and it's just truly amazing. And whether you're religious or not, that's not my point. But my point is, to me, that was my catalyst. That's what really got me going. That's what led me to where I am today. And it's still burning hotter than ever. And I just love learning. Getting to meet people like you and have these amazing conversations is truly incredible.
And I think that's quintessential to great conversations, is there's a shared vocabulary that occurs only through reading or listening to books. Again, listening, an adequate means of of obtaining words. It was done orally before it was ever written down. And our brains are wired for that too. And some people's brains remain more wired for that than sitting and looking. I got to read the words on a page to remember things. Very visual memory for me versus audio. I have to be able to actually read it. But what it does to enrich conversations when you hear somebody say something and it tickles the memory of a book or a thing that you've heard, and then you get to speak to them on that at just a little bit of a step higher than if you hadn't had that shared experience of wisdom.
You're right. And it's programming. What we watch, what we listen to, what we read, we're programming our minds whether we see it or not. That's the truth.
Yeah. And truly, Nick, tell me if you agree with this. I genuinely feel like one of my favorite things to talk about is like a book recommendation. We'll ask you for one for our audience here in a moment. But when you recommend a book, like we did earlier in our conversation, recommending Brant Hansen's book, The Men We Need, the few hints of knowledge that I had about you already, combined with something that I read in a book that was meaningful to me, I recognize that there's a similarity of plane of interest on this. And now I've made that recommendation. That is a form of asymmetrical connection. Like, Brant Hansen doesn't know me. He doesn't know you. But I do know about Brant Hansen. And I do know that you are a guy who would probably also appreciate Brant Hansen, just like another friend of mine, Ryan Kuiman, did. And we are now in a deeper layer of connecting than we would have been otherwise.
Yeah, you're right. I like that. And there's so much truth to that wavelength, Craig.
Yeah, I love it. When we find people on similar wavelength, it's exciting. This is one of my favorite things about networking too. When you go to a networking event and you're going to walk up to a conversation of people, and if you don't know the people, walk up and introduce yourself, by the way. That's step one. Listen to the conversation for a while, figure out what the wavelength is, and let yours start to find that wavelength and join the conversation. And now you're going to make friends and you're going to go places that were not possible before that moment. Some of the most important decisions anyone can possibly make. And those of us who have been coached and mentored and trained and are trying to become not the fixers, but connectors, look for them. They will find you. They will probably be the one saying hello there and welcome you into that group. And then they will get you connected. This is the way.
It is. I could not agree more.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, no, this is good. So, hey, Nick, book recommendation for anyone focused on communication and leadership and developing themselves along their journey, maybe people with a technical background in our industry, what's one that sings to you that you would love them to pick up?
Well, the one that I have here, shockingly enough, it's a Maxwell book, but it's the 16 Undeniable Laws of Communication.
Ooh, I have not read that one, and I am going to make this commitment to you. I'm going to go pick that up.
Lots of good takeaways. John does a really good job of the way he presents information to you, where, for example, if it's something that is important, if he feels it's important, he will itemize it, and it'll be framed in a way where you're going to have a takeaway where you can actually use something after you're done reading that area of the book. So it's beautiful because it's not just words that you just read and then set the book aside. There's lots of things that you can actually apply to your life. And those are the books that I love to read because I love applying that information.
You kind of take a sip of a page and a half and then you have to set it down and you sort of think about it and then, okay, now you keep going. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we talk about in our society today, we're surrounded by so much information. There's endless information. And we kind of find ourselves in an information freeze where we're just stuck in place and we're not doing anything. So the key is to take information and then do the thing, do whatever it is. But we need the repetition, right? And we can tie this back into, you know, when you're a connector, right? We're plugging in this person to do the things because we've been taking away the reps from them unintentionally, but we're going to plug them in. Now they're getting the reps. And that's really what it's all about, because we need to be doing whatever it is to be improving.
Yeah. Oh, this is good. Wow. Nick, I feel like we could dive into just about any topic with you and have a great time doing it. So we're going to have you back, especially to talk more about the DISC items, as you talk about that being a lens that reduces both friction and also builds trust. That is something I think just about every team anywhere would benefit from. So I have not done a conversation on DISC on this show yet. And I think that's long overdue. So will you come back and do that sometime?
I would be honored to. Yes, sir.
That'd be great. Man, Nick, so your story, I think, has a lot of really valuable bits to it that are going to help our audience relate with you. So how would we reach out to you if we wanted to get in contact?
Yeah, absolutely. So, as Craig said, I work with the Institute, and you can reach me at nick@wearetheinstitute.com. Craig, it has been an honor and a pleasure. I really appreciate the opportunity to get to know you and talk to you. This has been incredible, my friend.
No, I really appreciate it too. And I'm grateful that our friend Jimmy Lee got us in contact as well. He's so good. He is a wonderful connector, is he not?
He is. He is the definition of connector. I've come to realize that in a very short time.
Yeah, no question at all. And Cecil and Kent and all the team over there at the Institute, just amazing dudes. Love every chance I get. Sorry, we won't see you at STX, but where might we see you at any industry events coming up? Maybe ASTA or any of those other ones?
Nothing right now is on my radar, but I would imagine sometime down the road, I'll make an appearance.
Yeah, let's try to shoot for Vision at least in March or something, maybe. It's a good one. And man, unfortunately, you're in the Midwest here. AutoWares is no longer doing the Tech Expo here in Grand Rapids, which is such a bummer. It was such a great regional show. Maybe we'll have to get together and put our minds together on what we got to do in this region. It's a beautiful region. Yeah, this is a great place.
That's a good idea. There you go. Start connecting, buddy.
Yeah, man. We'll get them connected to the beautiful side of the coast over here. It's on Michigan side.
That's okay.
The beach. I know.
Not too far away.
Awesome. Nick, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you, our listeners, for joining us here. If you have any suggestions or topics you want to reach out about or hear about or speak about with us here on the show, reach out to me, speakup@craigoneal.net. And remember, listen up on the app to all the shows on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. We have Remarkable Results Radio with Carm Capriato, Diagnosing the Aftermarket A through Z with Matt Fonslow, Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest, the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Brian and Kim Walker, and the Weekly Blitz with Coach Chris Cotton. And thank you so much again to our sponsors for making this show possible. Thank you, our listeners, for joining us. Get out there, listen up, speak up, and build up on the way up, I guess. Right, Nick?
Yes, sir. I love it. Keep building.
Awesome, guys. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Speak Up, Effective Communication with Craig O'Neill on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com because the best conversations in the industry start here. Check the show notes for Craig's YouTube channel and email. Let him know what topics you'd like him to speak up about.